ladies and gentlemen, welcome out to the world famous Hollywood Improv. Make some noise. Oh, I think we can do a little bit better than that. Saturday night, make some noise. Right now, guys, make some noise for the creator and host of the show. You guys are gonna love her, Christine Blackburn.
Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. My name is Christine Blackburn, and you guys are here on an amazing night. It's our 25th show in a row. That ain't nothing in Los Angeles, I'll tell you what. We're going to get started right away, you guys, and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel. There's also an additional space that says free. And if the contestant lands on free, then the contestant can choose any topic on the wheel. There's also 3 spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, which they always do, then you guys get to shout out your storytelling suggestions, and our expert judges will choose one of them to be their topic. All right, you guys, speaking of expert judges, let's get to them right away. The first judge coming to the stage is a comedian and a writer who wrote on shows like Mad TV, The Martin Short Show, and he spent 5 years writing on At Midnight. Plus, here's a fun fact. This guy is a live announcer for the Los Angeles Derby Dolls, one of the most famous roller derby leagues in the country. Please welcome Blake Apache! Woo! Our next judge is an actress best known for the reoccurring role of Doris Klumpis on Seinfeld. This woman is so talented. She performs storytelling shows, solo shows all over the country, and her most recent show was called Annie Corzin, Famous Actress. Please welcome Annie Corzin. There she is. All right. And finally, our final judge is an Emmy Award-winning television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, which is coming back for its 11th and final season this fall. He also has a book out right now called He Started It that chronicles the Twitter war between him and President Donald Trump. He's the Simon Cowell of Story Smash. Put your hands together for Danny Zucker! All right. Well, this is very exciting, you guys. I am so happy everybody could be here. Hey, Ryan, is there any more light on this side of the stage right here? Okay, no worries. No worries, I'm with you. Now, here's the thing. You
want me to run to Sam Ash? I can go to Sam Ash and get a rig.
All three of you guys have played Story Smash before. So I'm not worried about these judges. These guys have all been here before. They know exactly what's going on. But to just reaffirm for the audience how we're going to play the game,
sure.
You guys know.
We don't.
3 rounds. The first round is a true 1-minute story. Okay? Yeah. And they don't want to go over their time, because if they go over their time, they're going
to...
We kill them.
Yes.
And they're going to hear this sound. Something like that. They're going to hear a crashing sound, and then their story is over, and we'll go directly for you guys to give some comments, yeah?
Sure.
Okay, the second round, same thing as the first round. All 5 comics come back up and tell a true 2-minute story. Wow. Double the fun. That's it. And then the third round is the very difficult task. You guys have to choose 2 of these people to go on to the third round and tell a true 3-minute story.
It's often super easy, though.
To choose?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Some of them are usually...
What do you think is easier to tell, Annie, a 1, 2, or 3-minute story?
You know, I never tell stories that are less than 10 minutes, so I think it's all impossible. I don't know how they do this. I can't say my name in under 3 minutes.
Yeah, so. It's very challenging, for sure. Blank a patch, what do you think?
It's true. It takes her like 15 minutes to say her name. I met her at a party. I was just looking at my watch the whole time, which was awkward because it was just a Fitbit and I was pretending it was a watch. It was very, very rude of me. I'm sorry.
You guys, when the contestants come to the stage, I'm going to say to you, tell them what to do, and then you say... Yeah, pretty much like that, but you'll do better. I know it. All right, you guys, there are 5 names in this hat. Actually, there's 4 names in the jar, and 1 additional name will come out of our audience jar. We are playing with an audience member tonight. What do you think of that, Danny?
I'm always excited. It's a catch as catch can. We've had some amazing audience members.
Yeah.
And then we've had some true train wrecks.
Some true train wrecks, yeah. Makes for a good show.
The best were the women.
All right.
That's it.
Okay, settle down, lady.
All right, you guys. Anything else, Blaine? You look like you want to say something.
I was just going to say I thought Cash's Cash Can changed his name to Muhammad Ali. Oh, but I'm glad I didn't say it out loud.
All right, you guys, let's get started right away. The first contestant coming to the stage
I'm very
is
proud
a
of
faculty
that
member at the USC School of Dramatic Arts. She's also a stand-up comedian, an improviser, and a writer who has an award-winning improvised talk show called Relationship.
Oh.
You've seen her on Seinfeld, The Middle, and on Comedy Central. Please welcome the very talented Jude Shelton.
Woo!
All right, you guys, tell me what to do. All right. No, it's a good spin. It's a good spin.
This wheel spin brought to you by Dog Fudge, non-toxic fudge for dogs. Finally. Not tested on animals, dog fudge.
Okay. That's very nice. She landed on free. She can choose any topic on the wheel. On the wheel. And for 1 minute, true story. Check your time, Jude. You make sure all the contestants will be checking their own time.
Okay, I'm going to check the time.
Okay.
Thanks. 1 minute. Okay.
What topic?
Pets.
Okay. Pets.
Pets. Okay.
Pets. One time, I had a cat, and my cat, that's how you start out, one time, I had this cat named Harvey. He was named after Harvey Milk, the first gay mayor of San Francisco, shot down by the Twinkie killer. But anyway, I had this cat, and I had a girlfriend at the time. We had this little cat named Harvey, and we didn't have any food for him. And my sweetheart was Mexican, and we didn't have any food for Harvey, and I think we had no money. So she rooted around in the kitchen for something to feed Harvey and found some chorizo. And cut it up for our cat and put it in my cat's little crystal bowl. And my cat was nibbling away. Everything was looking good. And then all of a sudden, and Harvey just puffed up like a puffer fish.
Oh my God.
And it lasted for a day or so.
Oh my God.
But we didn't have any money, so we didn't go to the hospital. But Harvey lived.
All right, Jude Shelton, there you go. A one-minute story. She landed on 58 seconds. It's a perfect length. Annie Corzin.
I don't know what to say because I love that dress so much. That's all I
can
think
about.
Thank
you. I made it.
You made it.
Wow.
Oh,
there's a story.
God.
Look at that.
Sign us up. But, okay, who's educated in the audience? Who is the artist that reminds you of?
Mondrian.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're all smart.
Mondrian. Terrific story.
Or who?
Colder. I don't know.
Like the mobiles, yeah.
Oh.
Anyway.
Whatever, I know stuff.
Great story, poor cat.
Okay, Blanka Patch.
I love that you threw in the Twinkie killer reference because not a lot of people remember that Harvey Milk's killer tried to get off with the Twinkie defense.
Yep.
Where he was aggravated by the cream filling of the eternal Twinkie.
Oh my God.
So I thought it was points for historical accuracy.
Wow, okay. Danny?
Your stories are always great. Here's a side story on Harvey Milk. I was at an award show watching, it was at the Producers Guild Awards, and Sean Penn was nominated for the Humanitarian of the Year Award, and it was getting kind of dull, and so I walked outside. I was smoking at the time, had a smoke, and he came out, keep in mind, Humanitarian of the Year, and there's a balcony, and down below people are eating, and he's smoking, and he ashes over the balcony, and a guy down on the table, in the nicest possible way, says, excuse me, your ash is going on the table, to which the Humanitarian of the Year said, where's the fucking staircase? I'm coming down there, and I'm going to fucking kill you. And
wow.
I just thought that was just like such a nice story.
Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it had nothing to do with your story.
But I
mostly am thinking about stories I'm going to tell
yes.
up here. Yeah.
And Danny, the best was you threw your hair back at the very end.
My hair is like a phantom limb. Like, I still brush it like it was still there.
Jude Shelton, let her hear it, you guys. Jude Shelton. That was a great,
great job.
A great start to the night. The next storyteller coming to the stage right now for a true 1 minute story. This guy, you guys, he's a writer and a comedian playing clubs and colleges all over the country since the early 1990s. He was on the show Never Not Funny for years, and now he has his own very popular podcast, The 40-Year-Old Boy. I love this guy. Put your hands together for Mike Schmidt. right, now tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel. Exuding confidence in that spin. Don't you feel it? Yeah.
This spin brought to you by H&M Clothing. Quality from a distance. H&M Clothing.
Oh, man. Drunk tank.
Drunk tank.
Oh, my. Oh, really? Hi, drunk tank. Is that starting? When do it start? Do I have to hit a button? What the fuck happens?
When you start your story, the timer will start. It's magic.
Maybe I hang out till 8 o'clock. What do I do then? What if I don't start a story? I'm enjoying this. I'm not a drinker, but when I was in high school, my friends were. And we would often go to my friend Mary Shinaki's house, and Mary and Kathy would have us in. We'd be drinking in the basement, and eventually the guys would get drunk, and the women would get mad, and the girls would go in the kitchen, and the guys would go upstairs. And then hijinks would ensue. So we were upstairs, a bunch of drunk guys, and we were bitching about the girls. And then there's like six of us, and then we just started fighting because we're high school kids, and some of us have been drinking, and we're wrestling. And then our buddy Dan Laporta, who is a huge Paul Bunyan of a man, gets tackled, and we tear his jeans off him in strips. And at the end of it, we're laughing and crying and looking, and his pants are gone. They're gone. No pants. So my friend Pete looks and goes, And he goes into Kathy and Mary Shinaki's dad's closet and pulls out jeans with a big grin. And Danny puts on Mr. Shinaki's jeans. And we're like, all right, we're saved. What do we do? All right, let's get out of here. And then Pete goes, wait. And Pete picks up the ripped up shreds of jeans, folds them, puts them back on the hanger, and puts them in Mr. Shinaki's closet.
Mike Schmidt, look at that. Ooh. Hey, right here. 59 seconds, the perfect timing, isn't that right? Wow, Annie Corzin, you look like you're ready.
I have to say, there was a line in that story that I loved so much because of the kind of language that he used, and the line was, and hijinks would ensue. I give him a lot of points for that.
I
like that use of the language.
Okay, Blanka Batch?
Well, of course, Mary Shinaski was always getting people drunk in her basement, so points for historical
accuracy.
She owes
me $10.
But I do love the way that that guy must have thought for a couple of days that he might be the Hulk.
Danny Zucker.
I mean, you had me at homoerotic drunk stories with dudes in high school. I just love that stuff. It's my favorite thing. It's like, because it's the way I think people, if sexuality is a spectrum, it's the way that us straight guys get to sort of live out some of those.
You're assuming a lot about me, sir.
Maybe I am. No, I don't know.
Mike Schmidt, let him hear it. Mike Schmidt. Fantastic. Great storyteller. Coming on stage right now, you guys, is... It's our audience member.
Oh,
our audience member. Okay. So, Jim Coughlin, go ahead and give Danny the jar, and he's going to pull out the audience member. We're going to be really nice to this person, because this really hard.
I hate strangers.
Yeah.
Who's playing tonight, Danny?
Okay, well, the person who we will humiliate, who's going to entertain us next is Mr. Jack Perry.
Jack Perry. Jack Perry's coming to the stage. All right, here he comes. Terrific. Welcome, friend. Good luck to you.
Okay.
Tell them what to do, you guys.
Spin that wheel.
All right.
Special wheel spin brought to you by Almond Joy and Mounds, reminding you don't really like coconut that much. I'm enjoying Mounds.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Vacation.
Hi. So I went to senior week when I was 18. I graduated college, and I had a girlfriend at the time. I have a husband now. Her name was Gina, and she was beautiful. She was a track star. I played basketball and was in the closet. Anyway, she and I would make out a lot, and I had this genius idea to go to the beach to make out, because senior week is at the beach, and this is East Coast. And so we were at Long Beach Island, New Jersey, and it was beautiful. It's where my family goes to sort of vacation. I love it. And I said, I know where to go. So for some weird reason, I decided to grab some whipped cream. And so we went to the beach, and we started making out. And she said, put the whipped cream on my stomach and eat it off my chest. And I, or off my stomach. And I said, okay, great. So I did that. And then when I went to go eat it, I ate like 20 mosquitoes. And then we quickly ended that, and then I went home and I tried to masturbate to aloe vera gel, and that didn't work.
Jack Perry.
Wow.
That was amazing. Stay right here. Stay right here.
I mean, it confirms the theory that I'd always heard that mosquitoes will make you gay.
Whipped cream will make you gay.
No, it's an amazing story. By the way, I had sex on LBI myself in New Jersey. And it was the first and last time I'd ever had sex on the beach. And it was like right in college. But it's miserable. Like the actual insertion in sand. This is a great idea. Let's put these things in together that require lubrication. But what we'll add is grit.
You're supposed to put a blanket down, Danny.
But is your blanket sand-free? I mean, what do you mean?
Yes, it is.
I don't know about you, but the people, you know, no. We're moving around a little
bit.
You're
getting so personal.
I know. Sorry.
Danny Corzine.
I thought it was a great story.
So good.
I thought there was something very biblical about it. Because, you know, like, thou shalt not lick whipped cream off your partner's whatever. It was something like that. The punishment was a sign from God, and I think you should take it seriously.
Okay,
if you say Adam and Steve, I'm going to have to throw you off the stage.
Blank a batch.
When you flipped her over, were there horseshoe crabs on her rope?
Wow.
I never got that far.
I think that, again, I'm a real stickler for historical accuracy, and I really like how you nailed the trying to jerk off later after a bad incident.
Jack Perry, let him hear it. Jack Perry, that was great.
That was a quality audience story.
Honestly, and we appreciate that. And guess who's coming up right now? This is going to be very interesting, because Jack, the guy that was just on stage, he knows this next guy very well. His stories have appeared in the Moth, NPR, BuzzFeed, and Risk, and his solo show, Bad Kid, was a New York Times critic's pick, and his memoir of the same name was released in 2015 by Harpo Perennial.
Wow.
He's here right now, Jack Perry's husband, David Crabb.
Wow.
Tell him what you do.
That will.
Wheel's been brought to you locally by John Supermarket. John Supermarket, when it's not quite a Vons, it's a John.
Oh, wow. This is so exciting. Now, this is an audience, and this is when anything could happen, you guys, because we don't know what you're going to say. He doesn't know what story he's going to tell. So be kind. Think of the stories you'd like to hear. And you guys over here, tell me first. What would you like to hear? Anything? Auditions. Anything in the middle here? The military. Husbands. Program?
First kiss.
Loss of virginity. Virginity. Anything else? What do you guys think? Virginity, husband, first kiss.
What do you like?
I was listening. I was thinking about myself.
What do you think, Blaine?
Chef's choice.
Husbands.
What do you like? I'm going to help you out here because you've been good. Oh.
First kiss.
I'm just trying to get the best possible story.
All right, you guys. Give him a round of applause. David Crabb.
I'm just thinking about having sex with my husband at LBI now, so it's weird. Anyway, in a shower with his family. Okay, anyway. when I was a kid in high school in Texas, I was a goth kid. And I was gay, but if you were in Texas and a goth kid, you said you were bi because it gave you cachet. You know, we're like, I like penis, but I love boobs. Don't beat me up. I also love boobs. And I remember one time we were playing Spin the Bottle, and I was the least sexually, like, I hadn't kissed anyone, nothing. But I looked around, and I was like, I'm bi. I'm wearing a dog collar and a cape at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I can do this. So I spun the bottle, and I was like, it's good. I was about to spin when the door opened, and like, you know where that your mom's neighbor's daughter that you have to be friends with? This girl came in. She was huge. She had bifocals, and she had just had nasal surgery. She had like all these bandages, and she sat down, and she proceeded to, like, mouth breathing, pick up the bottle, and point it at me. And my first kiss was with someone with the inability to breathe through their nose, which was just like, like, she literally drew air from inside my body. It was the worst first kiss in the whole fucking world. And I'm gay now, and I'm married to him.
All right,
so
David Crabb. David Crabb, stay right here. I think the time was 1 minute exactly. What do you say, Danny?
It's fantastic. So watching the Star Wars films, does Darth Vader get you hard, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
It's more of a James Earl Jones fetish.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Yes.
This is CNN.
Yeah.
Fantastic story.
Thanks.
Blanka Patch.
Yeah, I agree. It was pretty good. It got a little claustrophobic for me there at the end, thinking about her drawing the breath from you like some sort of cat sucking the life out of you as you sleep, or a spider drinking from your eyes while you're lying.
This is so much darker.
I know. It took me to a place, and for that, I thank you.
I spent the first 45 minutes thinking he was talking about Colonial Williamsburg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Tri-corner hat.
Yeah, I was like, well, what is that an outfit? Because I visited there as a child.
But here's the thing. Here's what it's like to be old. I would actually like to watch pornography, but I'm afraid because I don't want those people who live in the computer to know that I'm doing it. You know what I mean? To keep
watch it from my phone after, just by the bar. I'll show you
show
something.
Yeah,
okay. It'll be fine.
It's a date. It's a date.
I'm kidding. My gosh.
Blank a patch.
You know that they also know that you're not watching porn.
You mean on that list?
I thought that watching you were watching porn and eating Ben and Jerry. I thought that might have been one thing.
Oh,
but I like how you're taking us on a tour of the cape and the weird nipple clamps or whatever it is that you have. Just your fashion over the years is really, really intriguing.
Yeah, the cape, all of it.
Yeah.
All right, you guys,
it's really good.
David Crabb.
It is the best thing about being an empty. Like my last kid leaves for college in September.
Yeah.
And to just be able to listen to porn with the sound up, because it's all been silent movies up until just to hear some of my favorite stars' voices finally.
Yeah, it's really a
really
treat.
Nice.
I'm happy for you. Yeah. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for a true 2 minute story.
It's like when we moved to talkies.
Put your hands
your neighbor
together.
Cranking Blue Chew ads.
For Ina Romeo. Ina. All right, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
She goes.
Yes, you did. I swear to God, you were friends with like Amy.
This is the
craziest thing. You picked me up from a rental car place by the airport. That's so weird.
You were his Uber driver? Wow.
She was literally my Uber driver. I thought you were full of shit with your resume. I'll be honest with you.
Holly Weird.
That's Holly Weird
right there.
That's pretty crazy.
Small world. No, it's crazy. Your weirdest Hollywood story.
Gee, I think I just told it.
I know.
You're farting some more elevators.
Well, you know, it really is an interesting thing because I picked up so many people in the Uber who I didn't know were big stars or big this or big that. And he's big, but when I picked him up.
Kind of mean right there, but
yeah. That's kind of braggy, baby. But when I picked him up, he was just this really, you know, kind of chill type dude or whatever. And, you know, and I was like, oh, hey, how are you? He's like, oh, hey, I'm fine, you know. And I was like, ah, so blase, because, you know, I'm kind of a chatty Cathy, you know what I mean? And I was like, so what do you do? He's like, well, you know, I really don't want to tell anybody. And I was like, what you do? He said, hey, I'm a writer on that show. And I was like, oh, okay. So anyhow, what else do you do, right? And I changed the subject because I didn't want him to think that I was a desperate actor who was going to ask him for a job, because I didn't even ask you for a job, did I?
No,
and he said, so what else do you do? And I said, I'm an actor. And then we started talking about his kid, who is now the kid going to college.
Yes,
right? That's exactly, and that's right. A true story. And I picked him up at the airport, and it's 1:13. And what I liked about this guy is that he was like an Emmy-winning writer who was just as chatty, Kathy, as me, weren't you?
Yeah, 5 Emmys gone.
Hello, 5 Emmys. 5 Emmys, me, no Emmys. Yeah. But he was a lovely guy. But I don't even think he tipped me. Did you tip me?
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so story took an anti-Semitic turn at the end.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm all in the tribe. Yeah, he tipped me. Yeah. Yeah, he said, you're a good driver. Right? But that's a true story. Now, that is Hollywood. Full circle. Thank
you. Ina Romeo, Ina. Wow, that was a great story and so personal.
Well, I found this to be the most relatable story of the night in a lot of ways. In its universality of a story. But yes, I always appreciated you not giving me a headshot. And yeah, that was weird. It's weird to see you.
It is so weird.
I know, it's just...
But it's
Holly weird. Yeah, I'm very important. I obviously didn't remember you. But right now.
Do you guys want to be alone? Annie Corzin.
I think it's brave for a woman to be an Uber driver, but on the Hollywood thing, we had a driver who gave my husband a script.
Yeah, it was called Star Wars.
Blank a patch.
I like the way that you were fucking with Danny the whole way. Not for you to pull him into the story like the girl from The Ring coming out of the TV.
Yeah.
So it kind of it reminded us that we're all here on the planet at the same time. There's no real wall. So is there a fourth wall? There's no real fourth wall.
Not really.
And but
we're
anyway, Danny
connected.
Came through it like the fucking Kool-Aid man.
Ina Romeo, let her hear it. Ina Romeo.
Oh, yeah.
That is funny. That is
coming
weird.
On the stage right now, you guys, for a true two-minute story. Let's keep the show going. And put your hands together for Jude Shelton. Jude.
Woo.
All right, guys. Tell her what to do. Wheel.
This wheel's been brought to you by You're Fired, the new album from Ben Folds 4. In stores at Apple II's now.
That's an amazing joke.
It's gonna be vacation.
Oh, yay!
All you ever wanted, vacation, yeah. Gotta get away.
Vacation.
Okay, so I went to college 1 year in. I did, you guys. I got in. I got in with a $200 merit scholarship, and my parents popped champagne. That's how they were so afraid I wasn't going to go. But I was really good at speaking Spanish, and so I got a scholarship to go study in Spain.
Whoa.
So it was so exciting. I went to Spain, and there's a practice in Spain. So, you know, all of us girls, we put on our sundresses. We decide to go down to the place where there's, like, you know, a bazaar and people selling things. And so we all go down there, and I decide that I want a churro because I love to eat snacks. And so we go into a bar. And in Spain at the time, there was a practice that men would do called an oil change. And an oil change is when you're standing at the bar and a man will put his hand between your bum chops. Between the full... I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But it happened right in my... And I went, goo! But that fear combined with churros... Started the grumbly and the tumbly. Started things moving. So I ran. Do you have a restroom? I go into the bathroom. The only thing there is a hole in the ground.
Oh, God.
A hole in the ground. So I lift
my skirt over my head like the Virgin Mary, and I squat down, and it's just coming out and coming out. People are banging on the door. When are you going to be done? Coming out, coming out, coming out. Thing is, I had missed the hole. And so it was just rivers, rivers. And there was no paper to wash my hands, so I used my undies and then ran out and ran...
No, happened? You got to keep going.
Go.
I ran all the way home without undies and was sure I caught a disease and then went, this is way going over, but Dan, can I do it? I went to the gynecologist who had me on the table and the door opened right on my vagina. Like they had set the woman and it was like, buenos dias. And right... But I was clean. I was clean.
Jude
no problem.
Jude Shelton. Wow. Jude Shelton. What a story. So much going on.
Wow.
Blaine Kapach.
Well, I love European plumbing stories, personally. I am a world traveler. I'm a very sophisticated woman. And I've had issues with European plumbing, let
yes.
me tell
you.
Yeah. And I really relate to that. I was in Italy, and I'm washing my hands. And you know how... I'm very intimidated by sinks. Like, you don't know where to turn it on. Do you put your hand there? Do you turn it? I'm trying. Nothing's happening. I want to wash my hands because I'm clean. And behind me, in a deep voice, Signora, use your foot. Number one, I did not know that it was a mixed sex restroom. So that there was a big, like, you know, Italian tenor type. And he meant the pedal was down there on the floor. But those restrooms are an adventure.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got the most you could out of it, so to speak.
Okay, Blaine.
Oh, I didn't mind that you went over time because I like a good diarrhea story.
But, it's true.
Who doesn't?
But also, credit for teaching me oil change, which I think is another gay porn thing that I've learned tonight. This is gay porn theme here at the
We're all
story, story smash. But anyway, I love you so much, dude. That's a great story.
Yay. Danny Zucker, anything?
Yeah, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. I have a dream, and your diarrhea story. Those are the three most inspirational things. I think what would have been more empowering, perhaps, for women, and a thing that I'd love to hear, Mike, like if you're ever doing this story again and you want to embellish, you should have shat on his hand, right? Wouldn't that have been the most?
Yeah,
so just work it out and... Oh, fingers crossed.
Jude Shelton, let her hear it, you guys.
You're amazing, Jude.
Coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is the one and only Mike Schmidt. Mike Schmidt, let him hear it. All right, you guys, tell him what to do. Woo!
And the spinning ensued.
The spin brought to you by Tecate, the worst beer in the world. Until someone shows up with something else, anything else. There's Tecate. It's Spanish for Pabst.
Vacation.
It's all you ever wanted. Vacation, gotta get away.
I was working as a gynecologist in Spain.
Good over. Off to a good start.
I don't go on a lot of vacations, man. I've just recently started to travel out of North America. I've been to Kuwait, which was lovely. I was in Japan. And Japan was a new thing. I loved it. It's been a dream since I was a kid. Literally, not joking, since I knew what rice was. When I was a kid, I ate rice. I'm like, Mom, what is this? Rice, where's it come from? Japan. I'm fucking going. I was four. She didn't care for the language. But finally got to Japan, 2018. I was there for 2 weeks. And it's that thing where you go, oh, man, I'm going to go all over the place. Kyoto, and we're going to explore everything. You can't get out of Tokyo. I was in Tokyo 13 of the 14 days. And I'm with a bunch of dudes. I'm with like five of the guys. We're at an Airbnb, and it's totally fun. We go to Sumo Hall. We go to Korakuen Hall. We saw Monty Hall. He was there, which was strange. made no sense, but all right. He's got a career. New TV. So I wind up thinking to myself, well, I'm in Japan and it's a new country and I like Vice. I'm not going to lie to you guys. So we wound up in a Vice district, kind of a red lights district for Japan. And I will tell you this, they don't like the gaijin. They don't want you coming in. There's a lot of guys at the door. And if a white guy kind of makes his way to walk into a strip club, they stand there with their arms crossed. You're not getting in. So I figured, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to go to an individual joint. So there are these things in Japan called, and I think this is a technical term, blowjob houses. So you actually go in there, you can go into a little room and you watch the girl, she does a little split kick dance, whatever the fuck, martial arts, comes in, sneaks in, and then boom, she's down on you. So I'm excited, and but I was also told you got to go in, you got to act proper when you get in there, when you walk up to the desk. So I got there, and it was, you know, I'm freaking out, it's on the seventh floor, I sneak in, and it's almost like the soup Nazi, but it's a kind of a blowjob Nazi, essentially. And so I got to go up to the counter, and you got to be, because you're a white dude, you've got to present yourself in a way where they're not going to think you're going to freak out and do anything stupid. So I walk up to the counter, and I'm like,
Man, we gotta know. We have to know. Go.
Yeah. This is a real cock tease. Finish.
You gotta finish.
I get in the room. There's a hole in the floor. So I got. I literally walk in. I know how much it costs, and I just put the yen on a tray, and I stare at him. And he looks at me, and he goes, huh, waves his hand, and I said, bye. And I know I don't know what to do because I read you can't be too mean. They'll throw you out. So I just went. So I put a little more money on the tray. Boom. Slid it forward. Huh? He goes, And I looked at him, and again, my Japanese is not strong. And so I was puzzled, and I said, this is truly what came out of my mouth. No gaijin for mouth ladies? And he went, and he pointed at the clock, and they had closed 5 minutes before I walked in the door.
Mike Schmidt, wow. A great story. Stay right here. All right, Annie Corzin.
I have to wait. I have to give that some thought.
Okay, blank. Blank patch.
I'm going to just pass on the thought of doing a bunch of blowjob house jokes.
Thank you.
And the blowjob Nazi is a great visual, as well as... Thanks for working Monty Hall in there. Between Monty Hall and Quincy, I'm in fucking heaven tonight. I really loved your opening, the working as a gynecologist, because I just imagined that to the tune of Monster Mash.
Danny Zucker.
Say my Japanese.
I yield my blowjob time to Annie.
I've heard that before.
I didn't think this all got started.
You know, living the innocent, protected life that I do, my Japanese experience was so much different. What impressed me was in Tokyo, when you go to the department stores, which open like 11 o'clock in the morning, they have weird hours. You wait outside for it to open, the doors open, the salespeople, they come out and they bow to you and welcome you. And I thought, wow, people are bowing to me just because I'm going to go in and buy a pair of socks. This is a decent place to live. That's
yeah,
all
I could see that.
It's just like the Genius Bar.
So this didn't end in a blowjob, is what you're saying, the story? No, it's an amazing story. You took me on a journey, and it was great.
Mike Schmidt, let him hear it. Mike Schmidt. All right, we're moving right along, you guys. A couple more storytellers. Oh, actually, there's only one more storyteller in the second round, and that is our audience member, Jack Perry. Oh, look.
Woo! Jack Perry.
He's so prompt. You're right here. Tell him what to do, guys.
Good. I will.
All right.
It's been brought to you by Dumb Hats. Want to look like a fucking asshole? How about a dumb hat? Dumb Hats. Oh, it's all you ever want? Oh, good. Thank God I don't have to sing that again.
School Days.
Oh, yes. Great. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, it was great. So, okay. So, I was in high school, and I was my class's vice president. I ran to be president, but I lost. And so, I became runner-up, and I was vice president. So, my homeroom was in the office of the principal. It was like, you know, great, because you weren't in homeroom. You went to the principal's office, and I hung out with the president and the treasurer and the secretary, and I hung out with all the people in the office. I mean, it was stupid. I don't even know what I did. I just, like, hung out. And I was also in the choir, right? So the class trip came up, and we were going to SeaWorld in San Diego, and so I went. And it was great. We had a great time. And there was like six of us. And we kept doing this thing where we would go to the gift shop and we would steal stuff. And we stole everything. I mean, like, we stole pens, keychains, towels, sweatshirts. We just tied them around our waist. We stole t-shirts. We put them on. I mean, we just had it down. And so I didn't think anything of it, right? Like, we went back to the hotel, and everyone's counting how much they stole. And, like, someone was like, I stole $300. And I was like, I stole $100. You know, like, it was all great. But the problem was that we always had to keep the door open. So remember that. In the hotel. So I get back to Pennsylvania, and I give all these gifts to my family. And I tell my mom, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, people were stealing stuff. And my mom was like, you weren't, right? And I was like, no. And so then the next day I went to school and I went to the principal's office, and the secretary looked at me and said, the principal would like to see you. And I walk in, and everyone in our group is sitting at a table with a pen and a blank paper. And he just looked at me and he said, you had a good time in San Diego, huh? And we had to rat each other out and say what you stole and what everybody else stole. And then so I had to go home. I was sent home. I was sent home, and then I had to tell my mom that the pen she was using to write a check was actually stolen.
Jack Perry, what a great ending. Stay here. What a great ending. Blaine Kapach.
First of all, him giving you the prompt over there, you guys are so fucking married. Insanely married. Hey, where are you from in Pennsylvania? Where
Doylestown.
Oh, okay. I'm from Dallastown in York.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
York,
Pennsylvania.
You got the Pennsylvania thing. It's like motorcycle riders. You got to do the download thing.
My grandparents were in York, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow, nice.
Now you're just bragging.
That's kind of a cool story.
Wow. It's not that cool. It's not that cool.
I'm from Doylestown, so yeah.
Anyway,
I'm from Pittsburgh. Go Keystone State.
Yeah.
I would like to say that we've been trying to crack this case for a long time now, and thank you for admitting it right on stage and on tape. You're under arrest. Jack Perry. We'll take him into custody, boys.
Annie.
I thought it was a sweet story. I mean, I think
he's
because I think breaking the law is a part of growing up. Everybody's done it one way or another.
Oh my God, the Menendez brothers wish you were the judge. I mean, they really, it was too bad they didn't
Growing pains. Case dismissed.
Who hasn't had a little bit of a beef with daddy?
You know what? They were at the beach all weekend. They probably had sun poisoning.
Danny Zucker.
I'm bringing my phone. I'm not being rude. I thought your story was great, and you exceeded expectations of audience member, even if you weren't quite up to the level of actual performers. But I will say this. First of all, sick hair. I mean, I'm just so insane.
Yeah, it's great hair.
Jesus
great
Christ.
Hair.
What
a... it's weird that your husband would be into Morrissey.
Yeah. But I do want to just read this, because you were talking about SeaWorld, and I think 2 days ago we achieved peak Twitter with this Gary Busey tweet.
Yes.
And it was, hey, SeaWorld, where are the pictures of my wife and son swimming with dolphins that we paid for? Call us back. This isn't cool. Dolphin emoji. It's
Gary
a real tweet.
We're getting him on the show.
We got to get Gary Busey.
We're getting him. You'll see.
When I first came to L.A., it was a hard place to adjust to. My heaven was SeaWorld. I think it's just wonderful. I just loved it.
Well, we were talking backstage, and you love torturing sea mammals. You've just always...
in bathtubs.
They were put on this earth for my pleasure. I just loved it.
Jack Perry, let him hear it. Jack Perry.
Fantastic, Jack.
Good job.
Amazing. All right, you guys. It's very exciting.
I know a couple of octopuses that can predict sports outcomes.
Octopi.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Octopi. I just wanted to make it clear. I don't want to come out of the blue in the background talking about octopi. People might have missed the opening couple of syllables. But yeah, pi is very intelligent, can predict sports outcomes.
All right, we're moving on. Blank a patch. I'm giving you five names. You're going to take two of the names and put them right here in this jar. And those two people are going on for the third round. Put a minute on the clock. You guys have 1 minute to decide, and I would like to let you guys know that we'll be back here playing Story Smash on Saturday, September 28th, and that show's at 8 o'clock, because we're crazy. That's how we roll. 8 o'clock, September 28th. Right now, I want to give a big shout out to Ryan in the back. Thanks, Ryan. Yes, yes. Lindsay at the box office. Sweet Lindsay. She's amazing. Tickets are already on sale for September 28th. Lindsay will sell you one. Big thank you to Julie at the bar. Julie at the bar, hooray. Always doing a great job. Jim Coughlin right in front of me. Jim Coughlin, this guy's been with me for over 2 years helping with this show. Thank you very much. I actually met you. I think you were the second person I met in Los Angeles 22 years ago. How about that? And here we are together, etc. So put the two names right in there. Yep.
Do I put this in here like this?
Correct. All right,
this
there they go.
This isn't like that thing in Flash Gordon where there's one of those weird bugs in there that's going to sting me on the wrist. Is it? That's it. Hold on. There might be one of those weird alien, but... Ah! Ah!
Ah! I didn't see that coming. Ah! Ladies and gentlemen, the first storyteller...
It's like being in Scales and Tails.
The first storyteller coming up for a true 3-minute story, and this is super exciting. We're glad to have them. Put your hands together for David Crabb. Tell him what to do, you guys.
Spin that wheel.
There he goes.
It's been brought to you by Axe Body Spray. It's like Ed Hardy for blind people. Axe Body Spray.
Oh, wow. Break up.
This would be an amazing time to dump your husband.
I'm going to reverse propose.
Many years ago, I was living in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and I was a hipster and I was very happy. All my friends worked in art galleries and I loved the Criterion Collection. I was that guy. I've already described myself to you earlier. And one night I was out at a bar and I was with my friend and there were these two guys sitting at the bar and we all started talking. One of the guys was very cute, but very not me. Like, I was a seasoned hipster and this guy was like very bright-faced and a little like plaid shirt, sleeves rolled up, cute, but like totally not my type. Nonetheless, we tried dating for the next few months. Now, I told you earlier my approach to dating and intimacy, which was pounding alcohol and then failing on a pull-out bed, in his case. I was just no fun. And after a while, like, I kept kind of like breaking up with him because it was like, this is just not going to work. And I remember one time we were on a date, and I was talking about like a Depeche Mode concert or something. And at one point, I just said, what's your favorite band? And I knew there was only one band he would say that would be like, no! And then he proceeded to say... the Dave Matthews Band, which is the antithesis of everything that I valued aesthetically. So that ended, but it didn't. We kept dating. And finally, I was like, look, I've got to totally like cut the cord with this guy. It's not working. So I invited him to a vegan restaurant because I didn't want to ruin the memory of anything good. And he met me there. And we sat down, and I said, look, it's not working. I think da-da-da-da. And we shook hands, and it was very nice. So... cut to the next year, I get diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I spend some time in the hospital. I can't drink as much and party. And I'm out with at a restaurant with a friend for my birthday. And I look, and this guy who I had dated, I hadn't seen in over a year, comes in. And he's been New Yorkified, right? Like, he had just arrived. He was fresh. And now the jeans were torn. The hair was like kind of like shaved on the sides. It was like a studded belt. And I was like, oh, hi. That's my hair. I was like, do you want to go down the street and get a drink? And just a little bit later, we ended up down the street. And we were in the same bar where we had tried to date all that time with liquid courage, sucking the life force from each other's faces. And luckily, he had the presence of mind to be like, no, we're not going to do this again. I'm not going to go home and like just not have any, you know, like let's go to lunch in a few days. Let's go on a nice day. And I was like, that sounds good to me. We just like, Tuesday, let's meet Tuesday. All right, great. So we met in the East Village. I went to this restaurant called Ruby on Avenue B. And when I walked up, he was there, and he was very James Dean, like leaning against the wall. And I was like, oh, my God. And I said, hey, how are you? And he was like, hey, I'm fine. I was like, nice seeing you. So we walked into the restaurant for our, like, platonic getting-to-know-you sober date. And I looked around, and I realized the restaurant was weird. There was, like, pink little confetti everywhere and hearts hanging. And the waitress came up with these, like, fresh pastel menus. And she cocked her head to the side and looked at us and said, oh, my God, you guys, happy Valentine's Day. We totally fucking picked Valentine's for our platonic dude date. And we celebrated that as our anniversary for years to come, because I would be with that guy for 15 years now and we would get married a few years later.
Oh, David. David Crabb. What a beautiful story. Steve I was... right here. He's exactly on 3 minutes.
Oh, he's
three
amazing.
Minutes and 46 seconds.
I love that story so much.
Danny's crying.
It's so beautiful.
No, I love it. I love it. I don't know what to say except love, love, love. Now, before when you introduced, I was thinking about myself, so I didn't hear all the details. Well, you did. You said something about the moth. Are you a moth? A moth?
Yeah, I'm. I'm tour with the moth. And
I've
host,
toured with the moth.
I know.
You do?
Because
oh
I was
God.
Listening. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Through your computer.
Well, it shows. That was just terrific in every way.
All right, Blanka Batch.
I want to hear more about glucosis. Am I right?
Who doesn't?
That's the show right there. Are you talking about glucosis? I was going to ask you something about what it's like to be in New York, but I forgot about it. But I love the turn at the end, which was very, very nice and sweet. It was a great story. Normally, twists involve M. Night Shyamalan.
Danny Zucker.
The whole time I'm sitting here, from the minute you launched in, and it's because I am myself a wordsmith. No, I was like,
five Emmys.
Let this be Jack Perry. Like, please let this be. Were you feeling that at some point in this story?
Yeah.
Like, let it be. Because when you sort of described, like, kind of a bright, okay, well, he kind of fits that. Dave Matthews Band, I mean, sad.
He obviously. Took me right out of it.
He got over it. We're actually both straight. This is all a ruse to just win storytelling shows. Like,
you've been gayed on the IFC coming up Thursdays.
Unbelievable story. Dense with jokes. Great build. Strong finish. I mean, you got to feel sorry for whoever's following you.
David Crabb, let him hear it.
Yeah.
David Crabb, damn, you're funny. Oh, boy, you guys. You're going to be excited about this next contestant that we're in my left hand right now. Put your hands together for the one and only Jude Shelton.
Woo!
Wow, this is exciting. For those of you who don't know, Jude and David actually tied last month. The first tie in 2 years. And here they are again, head to head. Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Jude Spin brought to you by Heyo's, the Frosted Oat cereal with little marshmallow Ed McMahon's. If you think it's part of this balanced breakfast, you are correct, sir. Heyo's.
Unreal. I want to read a book of these.
Come on. It's all you ever wanted. Come on.
Holidays.
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 Holidays. First of all, can I say, Jack, where are you from?
Doylestown.
Where are you from?
Dallastown.
I'm from Funky Town.
Solid.
I need a ride. Won't you take me there after the show?
So.
We talked about it.
Holidays. Oh, sorry, 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 Jeff.
Back to one, everybody.
Sorry, back to one, everybody. This holiday happened to be my birthday. And it was my birthday, and I wanted a bouncy castle because I really need a good, hearty birthday. I need a good, we talked about that at a previous storytelling show. So I ordered a bouncy castle. This was my 47th birthday. It was, you know, I'm not a child. And so I invited all my adult friends, and I call up the bouncy castle guy, and I'm like, hey, can you bring, what's the biggest bouncy castle you have? And he says, don't worry, I'll bring the bouncy castle. He puts it in the backyard. He also brings his children because he thinks it's a children's party and that he can just sweep his kids in. So it's all these adults drinking, you know, pushing each over. When we all got in the bouncy castle, it would deflate and my head would pop out the top. It was terrible. It's like one of us could jump at a time. And so he brought his kids. They're running around. We're like watching our language. And my dog
my dog decides to bite his child. Decides to bite his child. And to further paint the picture of how silly this birthday party was, I had a ton of blow-up toys, and there was a clown that it went, like when you hit somebody with it, and so this kid, we just hear, the kid is beating my dog with this little squeaky clown. And it was really terrible. So the guy starts deflating the bouncy house, and we're all standing around. It's just, and of course it takes forever. It takes a day and a half for this bouncy castle to go down. He's getting my information in case his child has been maimed. My dog is licking blood off his chops. Meanwhile, I say, bring out the cake. So we bring out the cake, having a terrific, terrific time. Everything worked out okay. Everything was great until later when the fellow asked me for money. He asked me for money to take care of his child. And so I gave him an extra $100. And that was my birthday money. Oh, pardon me. Must have been the chicken fried steak.
Jude Shelton, let her hear.
Wow.
What? Did you hear that? Yeah. What happened in the back of the auditorium or the back of the room?
I think the improv is settling.
All right, what do you think, Annie?
Well, let's review. Yeah. This is a birthday party with a bouncy house that doesn't function except for one person, of a dog who bites people, what were the other calamities?
The bouncy house guy bringing his kids.
The bouncy house bringing his kids. Yes. What I want to say is please do not invite me to any parties. Thank you.
Blank a patch.
I loved how you said my dog.
My dog.
I thought that was pretty funny. Even though your story took sort of a Marley and Me turn there. There's the audience visibly and tangibly bummed out when you all of a sudden the dog getting hit with something always brings them to their knees here at the Improv on Melrose. Woo! The dog beating material. But it was very, very funny. And I have a six-year-old, and he goes to a lot of birthday parties, and there's always bouncy castles involved, and I always have to find an excuse to not go because I'm afraid there might be a bouncy Dracula.
Danny Zucker.
I have a thing about people bringing their kids that you...
It's like a dog in a restaurant, am I right?
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I mean, I know, I'm not... This is a very relatable story. So I'm remodeling my mansion, and but I became very close with our guy who was painting, and it was like it was great. My kids are in here, and it's like, oh great. And so it was happening over Christmas, so I basically got his kids' Christmas presents, because first of all the house isn't finished, and I'm trying to like get it moving along, and I'll get his kids like in a whatever, and then it'll be fine. And I was like, okay, cool. I feel really good about myself. I move in a few months later. Next Christmas, the guy comes by with his kids again. Hey, we can't. I was like, you.
Party
wait,
at the Zucker's.
I can't be. I mean, I'm nice once, maybe. Yeah, so I think. Let me just say this. I was rooting for your dog in this story.
Thank you.
Jude Shelton, let her hear it. Jude Shelton, that was amazing. Wow. Another end of the show comes. You guys are going to have to decide who's the winner of Story Smash tonight. Wow. They not only get the chocolate chip cookies, but they get to come back next month, September 28th, and play again.
Holy moly.
So put 1 minute on the clock if you could. And you guys, let's hear it one more time for Ryan in the back. Ryan, thank you. Julie at the bar, more. Jim Coughlin right here.
He's amazing.
Lindsay in the box office. And one more time on behalf of Ina Romeo, Jack Perry, Mike Schmidt, Jude Shelton, come on, David Crabb, Danny Zucker, Annie Corzin, Blanka Patch, we're all here. This show
Skip
is actually...
Torvenin, everybody. Stand up, take a bow, Skip Torvenin.
This show is actually going to be up on the Storyworthy podcast in just a few months. So if you enjoyed yourself, tell your friend about the Storyworthy podcast, and they can hear it for themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, do I? Podcast, I got it.
I heard they were just invented, and they're the new thing.
That's right. Conan O'Brien, he's the only one that ever did it before.
YOLO, right? That's a thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, boy, that was fast. So you guys are ready to go.
I'm old enough to remember when a podcast was when we all went to see Lotus Weinstock.
I don't get that, but that's
Lotus,
all right.
Lotus Weinstock.
All right, listen, was it? Could you turn the clock off? Annie Corzin, was it a difficult decision without telling us who won?
It's always difficult.
Put the
it's
mic
It's always
up.
Difficult.
It is.
Because they're all equally mediocre.
Yeah. You know? I hear what you're saying. Blaine, was it difficult?
It was very difficult. I thought they were mediocre in like a meaty sense.
Oh yeah, I like
that.
They were That's good.
Meaty, very meaty selection. And not to pander or anything, but have a round of applause for everybody. Very, very funny tonight.
Very funny tonight.
Yes.
A lot of fun. And also, sorry. I know I'm intruding on the senator's time.
We'll yield.
Thank you very much for being an awesome audience. You're very, very cool.
Yes.
Thank you for coming
out.
Give it
up for yourself.
On a Saturday.
Why
amazing.
Not? Danny Zucker, this is like your 18th time playing the game.
Yeah.
And it was a good night, right?
I mean...
See what I'm saying?
I don't think he can get his Venmo hooked up in here. There's bad reception.
They were good. That's my favorite thing to do, is just leave it hanging there. No, it was a really good night.
It was a great
really
show.
Good stories.
And are you coming back September 28th?
I will be here September
28th. Danny Zuko will be here September 28th.
I may be doing ayahuasca one of those weekends. I'll find out if it's that weekend.
Do that and then
come back over here.
Like that.
But,
what the fuck is ayahuasca?
It's like a hallucinogenic where you like find God and stuff. And
oh, is it like salvia that lasts for hours?
Something. It's supposed to last like 8 hours. I'm going
to
find
myself. Dude, you got to go to Mel's.
Danny Zucker, who's the winner tonight of Story Smash coming back to play September 28th?
One of my favorite Simpsons jokes was, in a way, they're both winners, but in another more accurate way, David Crabb is the winner.
David Crabb, let him hear it, you guys. Let him hear it one more time. Danny Zucker, Annie Corzin, Blaine Kapach. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night. Woo! Come on up, Blaine.